Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Mem Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Shiur 6 lines from the top of Daf Mem Gimel. We must point out in no uncertain terms that we are in the middle of a discussion, and we presented a rather elaborate introduction to this sugya during our last shiur. So for the sake of brevity, we are not going to go over all of the introduction that we mentioned then, for those who are tuning in now for the first time, so we recommend listening to the shiur of Daf Mem Beis. We see, as we open up the Gemara, a house marking around Rav Yosef, and an indication that he is a number 2, as you can see, a number 2 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Under our topic heading, we have written, Hesbeiro Shel Rav Yosef, the explanation offered by Rav Yosef. He is number 2. We had seen Rabbah's explanation on the previous Omid. Le'isur Nesinas Kli Tachas Ha'oif, regarding the prohibition of placing a vessel on Shabbos underneath a chicken about to lay an egg, the komavato kli mehechono, by having a kli under a chicken and the egg being deposited in that vessel, the vessel is no longer available for use. And that is because it now contains the egg. The egg itself is noilad, is a form of mukta, and is usur to be moved around on Shabbos, being that it was laid on Shabbos. It wasn't there before Shabbos, and this is we'll call this a classic case of mukta. Since it wasn't there from before Shabbos, and it came to be only on Shabbos, it is not available for one's use. And therefore, by having a vessel underneath the chicken receiving that egg, that would also remove any further use of that vessel. And one cannot do that. That's called mevato kli mehechono. We take a look at the Gemara. Rav Yosef Omar, hainu taimad Rav Chisda. This is the reason for Rav Chisda regarding the iser of placing, the prohibition of placing a vessel under a chicken in order to receive its egg. Mishum dekom mevatel kli mehechono. You are rendering the vessel that prior to this was useful to become useless. In other words, it will hold the egg and you can't move it around any further. The markings that you see now under our Mivne heading, the triangle that's inverted, are Kushyos al Rav Yosef, mi Mekoros Shebahem Roim, Demutu Levato Kli Mechono. You'll see a series of questions from Tanaic sources that would seem to indicate that it's allowed to Mevato a Kli Mechono, to render a vessel no longer useful. Esvei Abaye, Chovis Shel Tevel Shenishbron. By the way, we should note that most of these sources of the sources introduced by these inverted triangles are sources we've already learned back on the previous Omid. So they all represent a challenge to Rav Yosef, because in all of these cases we will see that you are in effect mevato kli mehechono. So Abaye raises an objection. Chovis shel tevel shenishbra, a barrel of untithed produce or untithed wine that broke, that cracked. Mevi kli acher uminiach tachteo. You can bring another vessel to receive the flowing untithed wine. Now, untithed wine is something that's muktzeh. You're not allowed to move it around on Shabbos. It has no use. And yet we are allowed to put a kli underneath to receive the dripping wine. Omar Le, so Rav Yosef answers, Tevel muchan hu eitzel Shabbos. Tevel is not a case of muktzah. It's true that it's untithed. However, the prohibition concerning Tevel is not a muktzah prohibition, but rather it's a prohibition, and we'll call it an action prohibition, where it's prohibited to tithe it. However, she'im ovar v'tikno, if someone came along and violated the rabbinic ruling of tithing on Shabbos, mesukan, the food item, the fruits or the wine, is considered tithed, and you can eat it. So that the tevel does not represent a case of something that is usur per se. Therefore, there's no problem in bringing a vessel to catch the dripping wine. Toshma, noisnim kli tachas aner lekabel nitzosos. One can put a vessel underneath a candle to receive the sparks. Now, this, if the sparks are something that are also to metaltail, you can't move sparks around on Shabbos, and yet you can put a vessel under the nair to receive the sparks. Omar Rav Huna, Braid, Rav Yeshua, Nitzotzos, Ein Bohen Mamash. Nitzotzos are sparks, and they don't have any substance to them, so that when the spark lands in the vessel, it gets extinguished immediately, so that the vessel has nothing in it for all intents and purposes, and it's mutter to move the vessel around after the sparks fall into it. So you're not mevatel kli mehechano. Toshma v'chein kiru shenishbara, a ceiling beam that broke. One can support it from caving in by inserting a bench or a bed frame underneath it to keep it from falling. So once you wedge in the bench to keep the ceiling beam from caving in, are you not mevatel kli mechana? Are you not rendering it useless from that point on, and yet you're allowed to do it? The Gemara says, the rafi, it really is not wedged in, but rather it's a loose fit. The iboy shokil lay. If you should want, you could slip the bench or the bed frame from out under the ceiling beam, so that you're not arresting the bench from any further use. Toshma, noisnim kli tachas adelef b'shabbos. One can take a vessel and put it underneath a leak, a drip or a leak on Shabbos. So once the water that's dripping falls into the vessel, we're assuming in the question that the water is something that is not fit. It's something that you wouldn't be allowed to move around, and yet you can put the vessel underneath to catch the drip. The Gemara says the assumption is wrong. Bedelef haroi, we're talking here about water that is fit for drinking, so that the vessel is still useful after the water accumulates in it. Toshma, kufin es asal lifnehu efrichim, shiya'alu v'yerdu. One can invert a basket in front of a chicken coop, so to enable chickens to hop onto the basket, and from the basket into the coop. So when the chickens are on this basket, so you would assume that you cannot move the basket, and yet you're allowed to position the basket in this way for the chickens to jump on it. It goes without saying that on Shabbos it is forbidden to move chickens around. Bali chayim are muktzah. And here you're seemingly mevatel the kli mehechano by inverting the basket to serve as a step for the chickens, for the chicks to hop on. So the Gemara answers, kosavar muta letatelo. The Tana is of the opinion you're allowed to move the basket around. The Gemara asks, well, Tanya Osir L'Taltelo, but is there not a source that says you're not allowed to move the basket around? So the Gemara answers, yes, that's true, but Oidon Olav, when the chickens are literally on it, so then you cannot move it around. The Ha Tanya of the Gemara asks, but do we not have a source that says, Afopi She'ein Oidon Olav Osir, even when the chickens are not on it, it's still Osir to move it around, and yet you're allowed to flip over the basket for the chickens to jump onto it, even though you're rendering the basket botel nechano. You're avoiding its further use. Oma Rabbi Avo. So Rabbi Avo answers, Ba'oido nolov kol bein hashmoshes. The case that we say that even if the chickens are not on it, it will be forbidden, is a very specific case. It's when the chickens were hopping on it during the Bein Hashmoshes period of time. And only then do we say that since at Bein Hashmoshes you couldn't move it around because the chickens were on it at that time, so it becomes rendered unfit for the rest of the day. And that's the concept. The Gemara says, "Migu diskatsoi lebein hashmoshes." Since it was rendered unfit, or set aside, or pushed aside from use at the bein hashmoshes period of time, the time between the end of the day and the entrance of the new day, so iskatsoi lechule yomo, it becomes the basket will become unfit for the rest of Shabbos day, for the rest of Shabbos. However, let's say it's after Shabbos set in, and you now take a basket and flip it over in front of a bird coop, that will be fine. You can move it around. Once the chickens used it, hopped into their coop, and there's no chickens on it, you can move it around. So there's no problem in this case of being mevatel kli mehechono. We continue in the Gemara with, at this point, having seen both Rabbo and Rav Yosef offering their respective explanations as to why a vessel is not to be placed under a chicken to receive its egg. We saw Rabbo's approach, Hatzolah Shein Metzuya, is Osir, and Rav Yosef's approach of Osir Levato Kli Mehechono. Both Rabbo and Rav Yosef were confronted with a series of Tanaic sources that seem to counter their respective explanations. Well, with regard to each question that was raised, they were able to deflect the question, and their explanations remain. Omar Rav Yitzchok. Rav Yitzchok we have marked with a bow tie and an indication of that he's a second opinion. He is listed on the, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a base indicating that he is a second approach, the first approach having been on Mem Beis, Omid Beis, where we saw Rav Chista. And what is their point of controversy? Their point of controversy concerns covering an egg that was laid on Shabbos. So we glance at the side of the Gemara. We have a no say, and we have an indication that this goes till Omid Beis. Shitas Rav Yitzchok, the Milvad Ha'isur Losum Kli. Losim kli tachas ha'oif osur nami lichbois kli al gabi habeitza b'shabbos. That in addition to the prohibition of placing a vessel under the chicken, there is also a prohibition of covering the egg that's laid on Shabbos. The ein kli nital ela ledavar hanital b'shabbos. A vessel cannot be moved around unless it's moved for something that itself can be moved on Shabbos. Ubeitza zu have a Easter nolad. And the beitza that we're talking about is an egg laid on Shabbos, and that's called nolad, literally born. It wasn't there before Shabbos for it to be considered muchan. Rather, it is mukta, it is cast aside, and hence it is forbidden. And not only is the egg forbidden to move, but the point that Rav Yitzchok is making, it's also it's forbidden to move other vessels in service or in protection of that egg. The Gemara. Om Rav Yitzchok, Kishem She'ein Noisnim Kli Tachas Tarnagolis Lekabel Beitzosa. Just like you can't put a vessel under a chicken to catch the egg laid on Shabbos, and that is not a point of controversy that Rav Chista agrees with. However, kach ein koifin olea kli b'shvil shaloti shover. And here is where Rav Yitzchok departs from Rav Chista, and that's why we call Rav Yitzchok number two, that you're similarly not allowed to cover the egg that was laid on Shabbos to keep it from breaking. Kosovar, Rav Yitzchok's of the opinion, ein kli nital elo ledover nital b'shabbos. you cannot move vessels in service of items that are not allowed to be moved around on Shabbos. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a double underlining, which is another one of our series markings. And on the Gemara's, on the side of the Gemara, we noted the under our Mivneh, Kushios al Reb Yitzchok Mimakoros. We're going to be raising questions on Reb Yitzchok from sources Shebohem Roim the Mutar Latatel Kli Bishvil Davar Sheino Nital, that you are allowed to move around vessels for items that themselves are not allowed to be moved on Shabbos. The first question is actually a summary question. The Gemara mentions that all of the previous sources that we have seen today, and likewise in our previous year, all of the sources that were introduced with triangles indicated that vessels could be moved for things that you're not allowed to move on Shabbos. For example, a tevel. You're moving around the kli to catch the tevel wine. A candle. You're not allowed to move the candle, yet we were carrying around a vessel to catch the sparks. A broken beam or a beam that's cracked. You're not allowed to move that around on Shabbos, and yet you were able to move the bench or the bed frame under it. And likewise, the drip or the basket in front of the chickens. You're not allowed to move the chickens around, and yet we're moving the basket for them. So the Gemara asks, well, Meisvei Kol Hani Tiyuvta. We raise against Rabbi Yitzchak all of the sources we just mentioned as challenging, as questions on Rabbi Yitzchak. Vishani, and one answer fits all. We explain that, in fact, in all of the cases, the item that we were moving was bitzorech limekoymoi. I was moving the kli to catch the tevel wine because I needed the space under that kli. So I had to move the kli away, and once I'm moving it away because I need its space, so I can put it wherever I want. And I put it under the dripping tevel. And the same approach we can take to all of these sources, that if I was moving the vessel in question for the item featured that was forbidden to move, I wouldn't be allowed to move the vessel. However, I picked up the vessel because I needed the space, and once I picked it up, so then I can put it wherever I want. Toshma, we continue with the challenges to Rav Yitzchak. Here's another source. Achas beitza shenolda b'Shabbos v'achas beitza shenolda b'Yom Tov. Whether it be an egg laid on Shabbos or an egg laid on Yom Tov, ein metaltelin, you cannot move it around. Lo lechaseis bo es hakli v'lismoich bo kare hamita. You cannot use it as a bottle stopper, namely the egg, nor can you use the egg to support the legs of a bed. Avol koife. And we've dashed underline, this is the main problem. You are allowed to cover the egg. Mind you, this is an egg that was laid on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to move the egg around, but you can cover it in order to protect it from breaking. So, is this not an example of being metatel a kli, lidover, sheino nital? And Rav Yitzchak said you wouldn't be allowed to do that. So the Gemara answers, Hochanami, here too, like we answered before, Betzorach Limakomo. The covering of this egg is allowed because the vessel I'm using was removed from it where it was because I needed the space under it for some other purpose. So one, and that is grounds, that is a basis for allowing the movement of Muktzah, or that which is forbidden, when I need its spot. Toshma. Porson machzolos al gabi avonim b'Shabbos. You're allowed to take mats and cover stones on Shabbos. Now, stones are something that you can't move around on Shabbos, and yet I'm moving the mats for the benefit of the stones. The Gemara answers, bo avonim mikurzolos dechazin lebesekise. We're talking about stones that actually do have a Shabbos use. They're avonim mikurzolos. They are stones that taper to a narrow tip, which are useful as, we'll call it the predecessor of, toilet paper. And that's what it means. They're fit for the bathroom. They're fit for, called hygienic purposes. So the stones in this particular source are Dvorim hanitlin, things that are moved on Shabbos in the first place. Toshma, another attempted challenge. Porson machzolos al gabi levenim b'Shabbos. One is allowed to take mats and cover bricks on Shabbos. Now, bricks of what Shabbos use are they? They are ostensibly muktzah. You can't move the bricks around, and yet you're able to cover the bricks with mats. The Gemara answers, no, these bricks themselves are useful on Shabbos. Dishtayer mibinyono, these are bricks left over at a building site. Dechazion lemizga alayu, they are fit for reclining. In other words, you can sit on these bricks. They have a shape that is, since they were part of a building site, they're shaped bricks that are useful for sitting or reclining. Toshma, another attempted question. Porson machzolos al gabi kaveres dvorim b'Shabbos. One can take a mat and cover a kaveres dvorim, a beehive. This is a unit, a vessel in which the bees manufacture their honey. And this is true b'chamo b'nei achamo u'b'gshomim b'nei akshomim u'b'vad shelo yiskavein lotzud. You can do it in the to cover these kaveres dvorim, this beehive, whether it be in the chamo, loosely translated in the summer, or in the sun, and gishamim would be the winter, when it's the rainy season, to protect the kaveres dvorim from the rain. And all of this is allowed, provided you don't have intent in lotsud, is to trap the bees. Well, kaveres dvorim is not something that has any Shabbos use. It is muktzeh. It is something that's eino nital, and yet I am moving I'm draping over it mats to protect it. So how is it that I can move the mats for the kaveres dvorim when it's a domesh eino nital b'Shabbos? So you see that it's allowed. A challenge to Rabbi Yitzchak, who says you're not allowed to move items for the benefit of items that you cannot move on Shabbos. The Gemara answers, Ocha b'mayaskino de'iko dvash. Here we're talking about a kaveres dvorim, a beehive that happens to have honey in it. And honey is something that is a dovar hanital. You can move honey around on Shabbos. The challenge, though, continues, Amalei Rav Ukfo mimeishan l'ravashi. Tenach b'mois hachamo. And we continue on Omid Beis, de'iko dvash. This is a reasonable explanation in the summer season when there is honey there. But what about in the rainy season, in the winter, there is no dvash. There's no honey there. And yet we are allowing the movement of the mats for protecting the kaveras. So you see that a dovor, notlim dovor, abishvil dovor sheino nital, a challenge to Reb Yitzchak. Before we get into the actual response, just a word about the structure. You see a triangle here, and an indication this is number one into the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, and a number of lines later you'll see a number two. The Mivneh heading that we have on the side of our Gemara offers an explanation of what is going to take place now. These are Shnei Hezberim Lahodikotoni Bigshomim. Two approaches to explaining the term Bakashamim, which was featured in the source on Omid Aleph, where the source said you can spread mats over a beehive on Shabbos. Nekudazu hiva kusha al Rabbi Yitzchak. This point, namely the point of Gishamim, presented a question to Rabbi Yitzchak. The Bigshamim ain dvash. In the winter season, there is no honey. And yet we were allowing the tiltul of machzolos to cover the kaveres. In the winter season there's no honey, and yet it said in the source you can cover the kaveres. So I'm moving something. I'm moving the machzolos l'davar sheino nital, and that's against Rabbi Yitzchak. So as we said, we have two approaches to this, and this is number one. Lo nitzrucha elo la'oison shtei chalos. In the winter season, there are two honey loaves that are left in the beehive for the bees to nourish on until the spring arrives. The Gemara asks, "V'ha muktzasino?" But those two loaves of honey, they are muktzah. There, you don't want to use them. They are generally speaking set aside for the benefit of the bees to sustain them through the winter season. The Gemara answers, "The chashiv olayhu." No, the source is talking about the shtei chalas that you had intent to take for yourself, and as such, it's a davar hanital b'shabbos. And therefore, there's no problem in covering the beehive, because I'm covering the beehive for the shtei chalos dvash that I intended to take for my own purposes and not leave it for the bees. Question. Let us say that you didn't specify the two chalos, these two honey loaves, as your being interested in taking them. So you didn't, lo choshev, you didn't think about it. So what will the din be then? Usser. So it would be usser to cover the beehive with the machzeles, with the mats. So if that be the case, if a contrast could be made with regard to the two chalos dvash between choshev and lo choshev, so that which it says, that you can cover the beehives, and here we have a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, which you should align with the arrow on Omid Aleph, and you'll see that this appeared at the end of the source dealing with the mats and the beehive, and it said you can cover them provided you don't have intent for trapping the bees. So that which it says in the source, Ubavad Shelo Yiskavi Lotsud, Lifloig Velisni Bedida. Why not make a distinction within the topic of the intent you have regarding the two loaves, the two honey loaves, and leave out the issue of trapping? Trapping, of course, is a malacha on Shabbos, but why does the source have to introduce that? Let the distinction be made within the topic, as follows: Bamed Vamamurim, when is it mutter to cover the beehive with the mats? Kishichishiv Aleihen, when he had intent to take the two chalos for his own use, and therefore he's moving the mats for protecting the two loaves that he wants to use for himself. That's a davar hanital. Avol lo chishav aleihen oser. But if he didn't have intention of taking the loaves, and it is the winter season, so it would be oser to move the mats, because those two loaves are muktzah. They were set aside for the benefit of the bees. So now, but did the source make this distinction? No, it didn't make this distinction. So apparently, even without chishav aleihu, it would be mutter to move it, and that would reinstate the question on Rab Yitzchak. The Gemara says no, that we're not learning things accurately, but rather ha komashul on the purpose of this source when it spoke about uvashli iskavi lotsud is telling me as follows: afal pi shechishav aleihen, even if you did have intent for taking the two chalos for your own purposes, you're still not home free regarding the movement of the machzolas. Ubavat shelo yiskavi lotsud. You can cover the beehives as long as you don't have intent for the machzolas, for these mats to serve as a trap to keep the bees there. The Gemara asks Moni, who is the author of this, of the source with the machzolas and the beehives? E Rabbi Shimon, if Rabbi Shimon were considered the author, well, Lesley Mukta, he doesn't have a problem with regard to Mukta in the first place. So that, as Rashi says, why would you have to set it up as a case of having intention to take the loaves for yourself? Even if you didn't have intention for taking the loaves for yourself, it's still something that is mutter to move around. So we had no need to explain the Chishev Alayo if we were going within Rabbi Shimon. He doesn't hold from Mukta in the first place. E Rabbi Yehuda, ki lo miskavein mai have. And if it's according to Rabbi Yehuda, if he doesn't have kavona lotsud, let's say he put the mats over the beehives and they they trapped the bees without his having intention for trapping them. So if the source is according to Rebuta, ki lo miskaven mayhave, even if he doesn't have intent, so what? Chol dover she'en miskaven hu. This is an illustration of something you did not have intent for, namely the trapping of the bees is something you didn't have intent for, and we know that Shita's Rebuta is dover she'en miskaven is in fact forbidden. So why would the source, if it were authored by Rebuta, make any mention of everything's okay provided you don't have intent? Well, even if you don't have intent, things are not okay. The Oilum Rebbe Yehuda, the source, the Gemara answers, is according to Rebuta. My ubavachli is kaving lotsud. What is meant by that phrase? Shelo yaseno kimetsuda, that you shouldn't place the mats over the beehives in a trap fashion. And what does that mean? The lishboiklu rivocho ki echi delo litzidu meimela. That when you spread the mats over the beehive, leave a little space, little air space, for them to, if they want to escape, they would be able to escape. And that by doing that, by leaving that rivocho, that space, it's not considered tzeda anymore. So up till this point, we explained away the question from the case of the moving the machzels, the mat, to cover the beehive, even though it mentions Yemois HaGshamim, and we know that Yemois HaGshamim, there's no honey there. So we explained, well, it's a reference to the two loaves of honey that he wants to take for himself. And hence the covering is for the two loaves of honey, which he is which now becomes something that is allowed to be nital. You can move it. Rav Ashi Omar, mi kotoni b'moy sacham of Musa Shomim. Rav Ashi says, take a careful look at the source. And does it say in the source seasons, that you're covering in the season of the summer or the winter season? No, the source speaks about covering the kaveras in the face of the sun and in the face of the rain. That's all it says. It doesn't talk about two different seasons. And in fact, the source could refer to the month of Nisan or the month of Tishrei. Ve'ika chama, ve'ika gishamim, ve'ika dvash. Since we're, according to Rav Ashi's approach, the source is not referring to seasons. Hence, we get around the problem of Yemois HaGshamim being a time where there is no honey, because we're not talking about Yemois HaGshamim. We're talking about springtime or fall time. We're talking about Yomei Nisan and Yomei Tishrei, which are times that you have both sun and there could be rain, and there is also honey there. So, the honey is something that's a dover hanital. And there's no question in the first place that we said, well, how can you move the mats for honey when honey is not there in the winter season? So, Rav Ashi's answering that the source doesn't talk about the winter season to begin with. It's talking about the spring or the fall when you will have honey is there, and you also have a possibility of sun and a possibility of rain. Omar luhu Rav Sheshes poku v'amru le Rav Yitzchak. Rav Sheshes says, go and tell Rav Yitzchak kvar tirgimor Rav Huna l'shmaitzer bovel. Rav Huna has already used your teaching in bovel. So now, what was Rav Yitzchak's teaching? So we, just to remind you, we have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Mortex. You can align this with what you see, a star you see on the left-hand side of Omer Aleph. And Rav Yitzchak is he who said that you can't move something around for an item that itself is Eino Nital. Rav Huna says, Rav Sheshes says, to those around him, say, go tell Rav Yitzchak that your teaching has already been taught by Rav Huna in Bovel. And that teaching is, Ein kli nital elo ledover nital. Well, where did Rav Huna say this din? The Yomer Rav Huna oisin mechitza lemeis b'shvil chai, v'ein oisin mechitza lemeis b'shvil meis. Now we dashed underline the expression b'shvil chai. A mechitza, mechitza would be literally it's a wall or a separation. In this case, it's a means of isolating the mace, protecting him from the elements. So he says that you can make a mechitza for a mace, provided you're making the mechitza for someone that's living. But directly making it for someone that's dead would be forbidden on Shabbos. What does this mean? In other words, he said that you can make a mechitza lemeis b'shvil chai. What do you mean by that? Answer. The Omar of Shmuel bar Yehuda, v'cheitona Shila Mori, Rav Shmuel and Shila Mori teach the following: Mei samuto b'chamo, a corpse that's lying in the sun. Boyim shnei, and being that it's lying in the sun, there's a fear of a more rapid decomposition, and we want to avoid that. So, if you have a mace that's lying in the sun, boyim shnei b'nei adam v'yoshim b'tzido. Two people come and sit by the corpse's side. Cham lohem mi lamata. If the floor gets hot, so then ze mevi mita v'yoshev olel, ze mevi mita v'yoshev olel. So the next thing to do would bring a mita, a bed, a reclining couch. Bring it there, and they would then sit on it. Cham lohem milamala. Once it starts getting hot overhead, mevi'in machtzelis u'porsin aleihem. They bring mats and they cover themselves with the mats. Ze zokef mitaso v'nishmat v'holichlo. Once they've covered themselves with the mats, so they then stand erect the bed. In other words, the bed, if you position on its side, so it with its in a vertical length fashion, so. He flips over the bed on its side. That is. That's zezokev mitaso v'nishmat v'holechlo, and all this time he was holding a machzelis overhead. So now he flips the bed onto its side, and then lets go of the machzelis. V'zezokev mitaso v'nishmat v'holechlo. Similarly, the other fellow guarding the mace sets his bed up on its side and leaves go of the machzelis that was overhead. That's v'nishmat v'holichlo. He lets go of it and then walks away. V'nimtzeis mechitza asuya me'alel. This way, an overhang, a mechitza, was made by itself. What do we mean by making it by itself? So, quite briefly, because Rashi elaborates on this, there is an isser of vasiyas oil on Shabbos, and that's only if you do it in a normal fashion, namely establish the sides, the walls first, and then on top of the walls you place an overhang or some type of cover. That would be an oil, making an oil aroi. What was suggested in the source that the beds are brought, but they're not serving as walls yet. They're simply sitting on the beds. Then the mat was brought, which they hold overhead. So the roof is in place before those side walls. Then when they stood up the beds were stood up and thereby forming the walls of this canopy. But with the roof having been in place beforehand, that is a method of what the source said is making a mechitza on its own. In other words, the letting go of the roof when the walls were already there in place, it's considered mechitza nasis me'alel, and that's okay. And this is the way to we'll say protect the mace from the sun, but also we see in this that they could not cover the mace directly. That they weren't able to do. They had to first make this canopy for themselves, and once it was made, they were able to walk away. And that's where we see that Rav Huna's point is echoes the same sentiment as Reb Yitzchak. Ein kli nital elo ledovar nital. They weren't allowed to move the machzelis, the mat, directly for the mace. They had to move it first for themselves, and then after they created their own shade, they walked away, and the mace thereby benefits, but not directly for the mace. Before going on in the Gemara, let's glance at the side where we've written under our Nosei heading, Tiltel Min Hatzad. Tiltel is movement. Min Hatzad is another way of saying in an unusual Kilachar Yad fashion, in an uncustomary fashion. There's an Issur D'Rabbanan of moving Muktz around. However, let us say you move the Muktz around in a Kilachar Yad fashion, in an unusual or a non-direct fashion. Is that allowed? So the sugi here will touch on that point of tiltel min hatzad, e shmei tiltel. Is that considered also moving, and it would be the usur? E lav, or maybe not. Itmar, the Gemara. Itmar, mei samuta b'chamo. A corpse that's lying in the sun. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel says, hovcho mimita lamita. You can flip the corpse from bed to bed, or from stretcher to stretcher, until you get to a shaded area. One thing that's clear here, you can't just pick up the body and carry it to a shaded area, but rather roll it from bed, or from stretcher to stretcher, from bed to bed, until you get to a shaded area. A second approach, Rav Chanina bar Shalmiyo Mishmei Darav, Omar Miniach Olov Kikor Otinok Metatolo. You have a corpse lying there, bring a loaf, a kikar, or a baby, place it on the corpse, and then carry the corpse, which is now, in effect, you're carrying corpse with a loaf, or a corpse with a baby, that would be allowed. In other words, that would be a method of transferring the mace to a shaded area. The Gemara comments, Hecha de'iko kikor tinuk li'alma lo pligi de'shari. If you have a loaf or an infant around, so everyone will agree that that is the suggested method of getting the mace to a shaded area. That would not be a situation of controversy. Ki pligi deleka de les lei. The deos that we saw, Rav Yudom HaShmuel and Rav Chinbar Shamio in the name of Rav, they will argue when you don't have the kikar or tinok. Mor Sovar, Rav is of the opinion, and as you can see, Rav did not suggest the bed flipping approach, because Rav holds tiltul min hatzad, this offhanded or backhanded or unusual way of transferring the mace, namely rolling it from bed to bed, that's called tiltel min hatzad, shmei tiltel. It's considered movement. It's considered, we'll call it, equal to regular movement. And therefore, it's not an option. Therefore, it's forbidden. Umor Savar Shmuel, who suggested flipping the body from bed to bed or from stretcher to stretcher, which is, as we said, it's an unusual way of moving the body, that's called tiltel min hatzad, loi shmei tiltel. It's not called movement, and therefore it is allowed. Lemo ketanoi. Should we suggest that this issue of tiltel min hatzad is a machloikes tanoim? in order to introduce this, we have a long question mark. You can see the shin that's encircled the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dash line indicating that all of these lines form the question or the suggestion. Should we say or can we say that the machlokas we just described of Tiltum and Asat is a machlokas tanoim? Lemo kitanoi? Well, we have a source that says, Ein matzilinus ameis mipnei hadleka. One cannot save a corpse from a fire. In other words, if a fire breaks out in some area that there happens to be a corpse, so, and it's Shabbos, so you have to leave things as, and the body will be consumed in the flames. Omer Rav Yehuda ben Lakish, Shamati shematzilinus ameis mipnei hadleka. Rav Yehuda ben Lakish says, I have a tradition, or I've heard that it is allowed. Well, hey chidami, what are the circumstances? If there is a loaf or an infant available, my time and time and time, why would the Tanakhama say you can't save the corpse from the flames? Why not just put the kikor tinok on the body and move it? And if there is no kikor tinok available, my time, Rav Yehuda ben Lakish. Why would he say that you are able to save it? And just to appreciate this a little more, let's just take a look at the Rashi. E deleka, four lines from the bottom. V'hai matzilin dekoma Rav Yehuda ben Lakish, de metata leila hedyahu. The term matzilin that the source used sounded like that it was a direct carrying. And if it's a tiltal lehedio, if it's direct carrying, but you don't have a kikar or tinok, so how could he allow that? Let's read that line in the Gemara again. E deleka, if there isn't a kikar or tinok, my time there would have been lokish. Why would he be allowing direct movement? Elolav betiltal minatzad pligi. We must say, therefore, that we're talking about non-direct movement, or we'll call the unconventional, unusual method of moving, and that is the point of controversy. The Mor Savar, Tiltul min Atzad Shmei Tiltul. The Tanakama who said, Ein Matzilin Es Ameis, once again, there is no Kikor Tinok. Okay, so then if there's no Kikor Tinok, Ein Matzilin. Why not? Because there is no option. Ah, you'll say, flip it from bed to bed. Tanakhama does not see that as an option, because that's tiltul min atzad, that's the unusual form of tiltul. But he calls that, he categorizes that as shmei tiltul, is called tiltul, and therefore it is usur. Umo savar, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, lo shmei tiltul. He will say that it's not tiltul. And when he said, shamati shematzilin, he means by flipping it from flipping the corpse from bed to bed to get it away from the fire. The Gemara says, "Loi, this analysis is not the way to go." The Kuli Almo, all Tanoim will agree, Tiltul min Atzad, Shmei Tiltul. This approach is saying that Tiltul min Atzad, according to all Tanoim in this source, will say that it is a problem. You're not allowed to move Muktzah around, even if it's in an unusual way. V'hainu taimo, the Rav Yehuda ben Lakish. And the reason the Rav Yehuda ben Lakish is allowing the movement of the body to save it from the flames is the mitoch shalom bo ameso. Since a person is overly concerned for the welfare of the corpse, his corpse, you know, his relative or the one that he's in charge of, to see to his burial, he will lose himself. Bohu means he'll become confused because of his zealousness or his over concern for the welfare of the body. Continuing at the top of Mem Dalet Omed Aleph, Ilo Shoris Lei Osir Buye. Since he becomes confused under the pressure caused by the flames, if you don't give him the option of carrying the body away, so he will simply put out the flames. If he doesn't know that he has another option, he'll just go out and go ahead and extinguish the flames, and that's an outright Shabbos violation. So we opt for the, we'll call the lesser of two evils, and say, listen, there are flames there. Carry the body away from the flames, and that will put his mind at ease, and he won't come to extinguishing the fire. Now, Rashi adds very importantly, Avomuto lachamo lo shori. But if it was a situation of a corpse in the sun, lying in the sun, and the fear of rapid decomposition, we'll tell the person, you got to leave him there, because to suggest tiltum minatzad, that's not a suggestion, because tiltum minatzad, the choladeus is tiltum. As far as some more serious problem arising, well, there is no, you're not going to put out the sun. So we tell him then, you'll have to leave him there. That's in the case of the sun. That's what Rashi says. Avomuto b'chamo l'chamo lo shari. We don't allow movement. Omer Rav Yehuda ben Shilom Rav Asi, Omer Rav Yochanan, halocha k'Rav Yehuda ben Lakish b'meis. We will follow Rav Yehuda ben Lakish, who said you can save the corpse, so that but only with regard to that will we show leniency. We should point out that Rav Yehuda ben Lakish said his halacha in the confines or in the context of a fire. So the ruling here is basically saying that in the case of a fire, we will allow you to move the body away so that it doesn't get consumed in the flames, because the alternative would be more severe, i.e., he would come to put out the flames. Because of this concept of Odom Bohul Al Meso, we saw in the Mishnah that if one would be allowed to put a vessel under a nair, under an oil lamp, and catch the dripping oil, if he sets up this lamp, this bowl, to catch the dripping oil Erev Shabbos, he sets it up on Friday. However, the oil that accumulates in there, the Mishnah says, Ein ni'usin heimenu lefi she'eno min amuchan. You're not allowed to benefit from that oil because it's not ready, it's not set aside for Shabbos use. It was set aside in the lamp to serve as fuel. And obviously, you're not allowed to draw fuel from a burning lamp on Shabbos. That's an Isur Mechabe. Tonu Rabbonon. Moisar Hashemen Shebener, Veshebe Kaora Osir, Rabbi Shimon Matir. In the event you have an oil lamp that burnt, it was lit on Shabbos, and eventually it went out, leaving residue oil in the lamp. That's called the Moser Shemen, the leftover oil after the wick finished burning, and there was leftover oil. The Tanakhama says that leftover oil is forbidden, but Reb Shimon, who we know does not hold from Muktzah, he says, well, once the fire goes out, there's no problem in your taking the oil. Because as we said, Reb Shimon doesn't hold from Muktzah, while the lamp is burning, so you can't withdraw oil from the lamp. That's an Isur Mechabe. That would be tantamount to extinguishing. Shimon will agree that that's forbidden, but once it goes out, you can take the oil and use it. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.